chapter 4 on today. Amen. And I'm going to continue with the series. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. But this time he's giving me the subtitle, Rest Easy. Amen. Jesus is God. Rest easy. Amen. I thank God for Minister Takiya. Amen. After church on last Sunday, she said, you a preacher, I say, what that mean? She said, you like going line by line, like verse by verse. Amen. I thank God for Sister Tanya. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
She called to get clarity about the sermon. Amen. Amen. So I know that the Lord is working. And we live in a day and we live in a time where we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so in the first chapter in Hebrews 1, amen, the title was simply Jesus is God. And the author talks about how Jesus is above the angels and all of the characteristics, how he reflects the glory of God and all of the characteristics that he is given and where he sits and the authority that he has is all equal and on par with God the Father. And then we are reminded in chapter 2 not to drift away from the truth that Jesus is God. And the author reminds us that Jesus knows us. He knows all about us. He knows everything that we have gone through. And that God himself came to save us. And on last Sunday, Jesus is God. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. That not only is Jesus greater than the angels, he's also greater than Moses. He is the messenger and he's the message. He is the messenger and he's Savior. And that third chapter ended, I'm going to read 3:19 to you. It ended with, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. And that is where chapter 4 picks up. Jesus is God. Rest easy. And so I want to encourage somebody on today that the same rest that was available then is available now. The same God who was working miracles then is working miracles now. Hebrews 4:1 says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Amen. And so it starts with a promise that first verse. It starts with a promise and then it is followed by a warning. Amen. And what the author is saying is if God offered them rest back then, but some of them failed to receive it, if he's the same God then, he's the same God now. And he's offering us rest. And if we are not careful, if we drift away from the truth, if we harden our hearts, we might miss the rest as well. I don't want y'all to miss the rest. I don't want you to miss the rest that God is offering. When you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, there is a rest, right? Talking to Sister Tanya, she said that the Bible gives her hope. There is a hope, there is a peace, there is a rest that surpasses all understanding. And that is what God is offering to us. But in order to get it, we can't drift away from the truth that Jesus is God. I sent my ministers a video this week. In the video, it was very short. It was like 8 to 10 minutes. And the minister, the preacher, he was preaching on why every sermon should be about Jesus. Why every sermon should be about Jesus. Because He is the message. It's tempting sometimes to preach about just overcoming, or it's tempting to preach about relationships, or it's tempting to preach about vision, or all the things that we are concerned with personally. We want the word to to speak to us in a way that's personal, that deals with our lives, right? We want to make it a lot of times about us. But in order for any of those things to actually fall into place, the word has to be about the one who can make all of those things happen. Otherwise, it's just self-help advice. It's just good counseling, right? But what saves you when you have it all, right? What saves you when the money don't make a difference with how you feeling or you about to lose your mind? What saves you when you got the job and you got all the things and you have the vision and you have the business? What saves you when you have a broken heart, right? What breaks the addiction in your life, right? It's Jesus. Any rest that we receive, it has to come from him. And so the author says God's promise of entering his rest still stands, but we ought to tremble with fear that some of us might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared his rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they did not share the faith of those who listen to God. Faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing the word. Like I'm preaching. Right? If you've ever watched Charlie Brown, you know that when the teacher talks, all the children hear is wah, 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 wah. They hear the sound, but they're not receiving. Right? They're not receiving it in faith. When the word is going forth, you have to receive it in faith. As Pastor T was walking the aisle, you have to receive it in faith. Even when the music is playing and your hands are lifted and you are singing the song in your heart, you have to receive it in faith. Otherwise, it's just words. Yeah. Pastor Carter used to say the mouth can say anything. You have to receive it. You have to believe that God is actually, when I'm preaching that Jesus is God, rest easy. You have to actually believe that there is rest out there for you. That you can lay down, wait, and not have to pick it up. You actually have to believe that. You actually have to believe that there can be peace in your home. That you can live a drama-free life. That you can break addictions and generational curses. You actually have to believe that in order to rest. All the stress, the strain, the strife that you have in your life, it comes from not resting in the Lord. And we don't rest in the Lord because our faith is weak. Jesus turned to the disciples when they was on that boat. He says, oh, ye of little faith. He was saying, you are in the boat with the Savior, right? I made the stars, the moon, the sun. I can control the waves and time. All I have to do is speak to the storm, and the storm will stop. But they were afraid. Jesus was asleep in the boat. But they were afraid because they had a lack of faith. Jesus was resting easy. The author is telling us that same rest is available to us, right? But we are in danger of not receiving it if we don't listen to God. For the third verse says, for only we who believe can enter his rest. As for others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. My Bible says that God will withhold no good thing. So what I'm trying to tell you is that he wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to walk in rest. He wants you to walk in confidence. He wants you to walk in boldness. He wants you to walk in purpose. He wants you to have those things. He's not trying to withhold them from you to prove a point These things have been ready made for you before you was yet in your mother's womb. They've been prepared for you from the very beginning. And he wants you to have them. He wants you to have them. But if you don't believe, you will never enter that place of rest. So God's rest is there. God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God said another time, I love this verse, the number 7, right? The 7th verse. So God said another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. And that time is today. And that time is today. I heard Pastor T, as she was praying, she said, no matter how you came in here, do you want to walk out different? Do you want to walk out changed? You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can rest easy today. He says in the past, right? This rest that I have prepared, it's been there since the beginning of time, but people are not listening. So I'll set another time for them to rest. And that time is today. So just because your grandmama didn't learn how to rest, just because your mama didn't learn how to rest, just because your siblings didn't learn how to rest, just because all the people that died in the wilderness did not learn how to rest, that does not change the fact that the rest is still available for me. Amen. And if I want it, if don't nobody else want to go, if I want it, I can rest easy in the Lord. I can rest easy in the Lord. 8th verse. Now, if Joshua had succeeded, in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. You got to know your Bible. Joshua was in charge with getting them to the promised land. Right? He was in charge with getting them to a land that flowed with milk and honey, for dividing up the territory for every tribe to get their peace. And the author is saying if Joshua had succeeded, if it had just been about the promised land, if it had just been about the milk and honey, if it had just been about the land to receive, what you're trying to say, Pastor, is sometimes we think that if I can just get the degree, or if I could just get the house, or if I could just get the spouse, or if I could just have the child, if I could just get the title, right? That's the promised land. If I could just get the things that God promised, then I'll rest. I can take it easy for a little while. I'll be all right. But the author was saying if it was just about that, then God would not have said another time. The rest that I'm talking about is eternal. That's the rest that you have when everything, when you don't have the title and you waiting to get there, right? That's the rest when you don't have the spouse, but you're waiting patiently and trusting on God to either get there or make it all right. When you get the news that you can't have the baby, but you're still all right, you're still resting easy, even though you hurt. Because you know that God will make it all right. The author is saying that if it was just about giving them the promised land, he would have not spoken about another day of rest to come. So there is a special rest waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered in God's rest have rested from their labors. I want y'all to understand that every one of those examples that I named, those are the things that we work. If I want the title, I got to work, right? If I want the degree, I got to work. If I want the spouse, I got to work. I got to win her heart. I got to make her think I love her, right? If you go into Corinthians and you start talking about Paul, and he starts talking about marriage, and he starts talking about singleness, and he starts talking about how, you know, to serve in singleness is better, because when you get married, you have to consider your spouse in every decision that you make. You just can't move freely. I can't just say I'm going on a mission trip right now and not think about what my wife and my kids gonna do while I'm gone. I have to consider them. So that there's a certain level of work that comes with marriage. There's a certain level of work with ascending to where you're trying to go. There's a certain level of work that comes with chasing money. But at the end of the day, it's all toil. It's all toil. It's all labor. But what I'm preaching about today, what the author of Hebrews is talking about today is that there is a special rest that allows you to rest from all your labors. There's going to come a day where I don't have to worry about my children. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but either I'm going to be in the hands of God or they're going to be in the hands of God. And if neither one of us, if I'm not and they are, they ain't going to know. They're going to be with the Lord. And if I am and they ain't, I ain't going to know. I'm going to be with the Lord and they ain't. Right? That's why Revelation says there's going to be no more weeping, no more crying, no more, like, we ain't going to be up in heaven mourning and staying and striving and fighting and crying and grieving and depressed and all like that. Those things are not of God. And fearful. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Like all of those things, like all of that is a part of our labor. And what I'm preaching about, what the author is writing about is this special type of rest. This special type of rest that's still waiting for the people of God. The 10th verse says, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. Wherever God sat and whatever he started doing on that seventh day when he said it was good, that's what we're going to be doing one day. That's what we're going to be one day, sitting in that rest. So let us do our best to enter that rest, right? Notice it said, let us do our best. Let us do our best to enter that rest. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard in my personal life to go to my job in the hands and in the peace of God. What you mean, Pastor? It's like at the end of the day, all my striving, all trying to get test scores, trying to mold and shape teachers and mold and shape kids' lives and all of those things. At the end of the thing, at the end of the day, the only thing that's gonna last is what I do for God. And so I'm taking on all these burdens and all this baggage and all these weights that I don't even have to bear. Because God took all that weight. Jesus took all that weight on his back so that I would not have to carry it. All I have to do is operate and work in the rest and in the peace of God. All I have to do is do right by God by doing right by people. And everything else will take care of itself. I hope y'all know y'all Bible because I'm in there. If all I got to do is seek first, all I got to do is seek first the kingdom. And everything else is going to take, the test score is going to take care of themselves. If I seek first the kingdom, my kids going to be all right. If I seek first the kingdom, God is going to allow me to work through my grief, work through my trauma, work through my faults. If I seek first the kingdom, the addictions will go away. If I seek first the kingdom, he will change my appearance. If I seek first the kingdom, he'll get my health in order. Because he's going to convict me. He's going to teach me. He's going to walk with me. He's going to talk to me. Right? Because he wants me to rest. He wants me to rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. What you mean if we disobey? If we harden our hearts? If we drift away from the truth? If we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are all accountable. The word, y'all. The word. The word tells you who you really are. We can sit in here and pretend that we are right. We can sit and pretend that we good people. Right? But the word of God, the word of God convicts you. My testimony came back to me. So some of y'all know that there's this young man in prison. He has a life sentence. His name is Cordarius. And I've known him since he was probably in the ninth grade. He took a plea deal. And he took the plea because he was facing the death penalty. So if they had found him guilty, he probably would have ended up with the death penalty. So he basically pleaded with the hope that he would get life with the possibility of parole. But he got life without the possibility of parole. And every month, either I send him something or 3PD sends him something. So thank y'all for doing your missionary offer. We put money on his book. But it's just like a bill. He called and he sent me something. And when I say he called, I'm talking about 20 times a day from all different types of numbers, all different times of night. And recently, his grandmother passed. And he wanted to go to the funeral, but you know they charge you $1,500. And you're in prison to go. That's crazy. Right? So he wanted to go to the funeral, and he needed money. And he had somebody help him, and I sent him some money, some of my personal money. But I actually answered the phone this time. Because normally I just text him and say, send me the cash out because I know he want money. But I actually answered the phone. And I actually ended up talking to him and listening to him for about 30 minutes. And that's why I was on, that was part of the reason I was on the floor crying this morning. Because I'm like, God, sometimes the weight is so heavy of always being on call. And sometimes I don't want to answer the phone because I just think you, but I actually listened to what he was saying. And his grandmother left everything that she had to him. And she told him when he went in, or she wrote a letter. She wrote a letter saying that she left the money to him because Cordarius is going to get out. She said he's going to get out. The house, the car. And his family don't want him to have the money. And he said, Mr. Johnson, I know I be getting on your nerves. He said, but when I think about my family, I think about y'all more than I think about my own family. My own mama won't answer the phone because it's out of sight, out of mind. And I'm telling y'all this testimony. When that 11th verse says, so let us do our best to enter that rest, right? That the word is alive and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It reveals our innermost thoughts. And that's what the word does to me. It makes me see, like, if I would just answer the phone and talk to him sometime, maybe he wouldn't blow up my phone. Right? If I would just do what's right, knowing his situation. He told me, he said, you know what? He said, did you know that even before I knew you? He said, I don't even know if you knew. He said, Jordan used to talk to me all the time at Southside and tell me to do better. And like, when I was at Monroe, he would tell me to stop skipping class. And I wish I would have listened. Like, he remembers. He remembers all of it. He remembers all of it. And we so quick to think that we are right, that our heart is right, that we got good intentions, right? But it says, do your best. We ain't doing, like, we think, because we're tired in our flesh. Because we tired in our flesh and we go to work every day. We think that we are doing our best. When we not. We give them a minimal amount of effort. We give them a minimal amount of effort. And we think that God don't know that's what we're doing. But when we look at the word and what the word requires, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one. Don't think, right? Don't think that you are held accountable to me. It goes way beyond me. Your church attendance is not about me. Your giving is not about me. Your dedication to the people in your life is not about me. It's not about 3PD. He is the one. Jesus is God. And if you want to enter his rest, that's what this whole book is about. If you want to enter his rest, you have to understand what he actually did for you. You gotta actually understand why we give so much reverence to Jesus. Because the things that he did, only God can do. Right? Some people, they try to, he's only a teacher. The best teacher can't do what he did. He's only a prophet. No, he's greater than Moses. He's greater than Isaiah. He's greater than Jonah. If the prophets could have saved the people, they would have saved the people. Right? But the Bible calls him the Son. The Bible calls him the Son. Why would the Son be greater than the Father? Because the Father said so. Right? Go back and read it. In the third chapter, where God the Father calls the Son God and says, "Oh Lord, your throne." Right? Lord, I thank you. 14, and I'm almost done. I got three verses. So since we are held accountable to him, he is our high priest. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. That hold firmly part, y'all. Why do you want to hold firmly to the belief that Jesus is God? So you don't drift away from it. Why you want to hold firmly to it? So you won't harden your heart. Right? Why you want to hold firmly to it? So that his word can have his perfect work in you. So that his word can do what it's supposed to do. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Catch that part. This is another claim that he's God. He did it without sin. Now the word says everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. All it says, actually says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only person not to do it is Jesus. Right? The only person I know without sin is God. So if Jesus is without sin, he got to be God. Lord, I thank you. A once and for all sacrifice. Holding on to this. This is the last verse and I'm done. Holding on to this truth. 16. 16 means love. Holding on to this truth allows us to come boldly before the throne of our gracious who? It allows us to come boldly before the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. If we hold on to Jesus, we can rest easy. At that time when you need it the most, right? I watched my minister when Granny passed. Guess who she held on to? Right? How was she able to go to sleep? Rest easy. She has a great high priest that can do things that you feel like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make this. I don't know the words to say. I don't even know what to pray. Matter of fact, I don't want to pray. You have a great high priest who says, I know you don't want to pray, but I will pray for you. Peter, don't you know that Satan has desired? Minister, don't you know that Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. That's why you need Jesus. Where feet may fail. That's why you need Jesus. Because he does things that you can't do by yourself. You can rest easy. You can rest easy. Amen.